may be seated there. How's everybody doing? Hey, anybody blessed by our worship team, man? Thank you. My sister came yesterday. Last service, not yesterday. She came last service. They live over the hill, and they haven't been in a couple of years. And they're like, "Oh my goodness, the stage and the worship team and the vocalist." And her husband's like a professional guitarist. And they said, "Man, it just keeps getting better and better and better." And how many know it keeps getting better and better and better? And we need to be thankful for that. If you're not careful, you forget all the great things that God's doing in our church. And I think I said this last week. I love our church. I think I would probably attend here even if I wasn't the pastor. I think I would attend here. And I love what God's doing. I love the diversity, all the different colors of people. I mean, heaven's going to be like that, a lot of different colors of people. And if you think Jesus is like 6 foot white guy, you got another thing coming. And there's a billion people living in China. There's a billion people in India. And how many know heaven's going to be super diverse with people that don't look like you? And that's the cool thing about heaven. And I just love this church. I love what God's doing. Has anybody noticed we got like a new toy? That screen is awesome. We were messing around with it on Friday. And then with the screen and the cameras, man, I was like, I am really bald. And I think I'm going to start using makeup because they could see everything and every little zit and every little freckle and stuff. And so we're not going to show that on the middle screen because it's too bright. But this is an amazing screen. It's only using like 20 to 30% of its capacity. And we're just thankful to God for just growing and expanding and changing. How many like the screen? Yeah. So that's awesome. And love our church. Thanksgiving's right around the corner. Is anybody cooking something different than like the typical turkey or ham? Come on, raise your hand. Something different, just out of the box, like tamales or, come on, anybody doing something different? Come on, who's doing, you're doing something different? What are you making? Yeah. Oh, vegetarian. Okay, I won't be going to your house. Anybody doing like some, yeah. Oh, ribeye and roast. I can do that. My wife's here. Just leave your address there, and we might zip by a house. Just kidding. And Thanksgiving's coming up, and we're not just to be thankful one day a week. I mean, you know, like every day. Are you grateful that you're alive today? That you're in a church that loves Jesus, and we're surrounded with people that love the Lord. Where the Holy Spirit is here, right? And we get to study a book that is supernatural. How many are ready to dive into the Word of God? All right, grab your copy, turn to the book of Philippians chapter 3. I'll meet you there. We're going to begin reading in verse 17 in just a second as we continue in our series in the book of Philippians, verses 17 through 21. Hurry, run, quickly get there. Right after the book of Ephesians is Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. And when you get there, say amen or say hallelujah. Okay, you got it? Philippians 3. 17, hold your spot there. We're in a verse-by-verse study in the book of Philippians. If you don't have a Bible, that tells me it's your very first time here. So on behalf of my wife and I and our pastors and our staff, welcome. If you are a regular attender, you bring your Bible to church. Come on, you bring your Bible to church. Amen. And we're gonna look at the Bible in just a second. But I want to show you a picture of where I went to Bible college. Ready? And this is the entire campus right there. My daughter now goes to Life Bible College, is where my wife and I went, and this is Echo Park. And how many know sometimes you don't really know how good you have it until you go to Echo Park? I grew up in Westlake Village, and I'm like, what? It's like right near Dodger Stadium, which is right near like hell. And this was the entire campus right here. It's right here. And most of the classes were like on the fifth floor, the fourth floor, some are on the third floor. And then you had like a chapel underground, and we had chapel a couple days a week. And then right past this building, you can't see it, but we're like the dorms. And I know what you're thinking when you hear dorms, you're like, man, like thousands of people. No, like 40 guys in the dorm. It was a really small school, maybe 300 people that were full-time. And the reason why I wanted to show you this picture is because the street right here, because every Thursday on this street right here, there was a sign out front along the street, and you were not allowed to park on that street. And so on this side, and you can't see the other side of the street, but on the other side of the street on Fridays, you couldn't park on the other side of the street on Friday. So one day a week on Thursday, no parking. And then you got to make sure if you had a car to move your car, because on the next day, Friday came around, you couldn't park on the other side. And I mean, when you're in Bible college and you're young, you kind of forget that. You're like, well, what side is it? When do I need to move my car? There were a couple times like I'd wake up. You know what I'm talking about? And the reason why there's a is because when you're in Bible college, you don't have a lot of money. And a $75 parking ticket sounds like $1,000 today, because, I mean, just to be able to like buy some top ramen was a lot of money. I can't afford a $75 parking ticket, so I'd wake up and I'm like, You try it. That was pretty feminine, man. Where's the guys at in the church? I'll give you another run at it. It was, all right, a little better. And I just wake up, I'm like, oh, I forgot to move the car. I'd be in a class, and I'm like, yeah, oh my goodness, and I got to go. And the professor's like, where are you going? I forgot to move my car, and I couldn't afford it, and there was no parking. And I thought about that. That's the Christian life. Some of us, man, we get so stale and stagnant, and we're living our life, our spiritual life, in neutral or park. And God's like, hey, get going. Move forward, grow, be further along with Jesus today than you were a year ago or 5 years ago. And turn to somebody and say, man, no parking, no parking. Come on, move around. Tell your neighbor, no parking, no parking, no parking. All right, you ready to read the Bible? Here we go, Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Look at your neighbor's Bible there and follow along as I read out of the NIV. Ready? How many are ready? All right, here we go, verse 17. Paul says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on what? Earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control. This is such good news right now. Ready? So what's going to happen when we see Jesus face to face? This will happen. He will transform our lowly body so that they will be like a glorious body. Come on, somebody should be excited for that. Hey, I want to talk to all the teenagers. Do we have any teenagers in this service? Okay, so I know that you're so focused on your outward appearance, and hey, keep brushing your teeth and doing your hair and stuff, and enjoy it now, because when you get old like the rest of us, guys, look at me, you're going to lose your hair like me. You're going to get gray, and you're going to gain some weight, and the Bible says that your outward man is perishing day by day. But check it out, when we see him, he's going to transform our lowly body, and we're going to get a glorious body. Isn't that going to be great? I cannot wait for that day when I have a glorious body. And so I'm gonna just pull out a couple things out of the text this afternoon that I think is gonna encourage us. So three things. You ready to take some notes? All right. Grab your pen there, pull out your notes there. And here's the first thing I want to talk to you about. Number one, there are, according to verses 17 and 18, this is good news, there are godly examples that God's put around us. Godly examples that God has put around us. Look at verse 17 again. Paul says, join together in following my, grab your pen there and underline this in your neighbor's Bible, the word example. Join together in following my, what? Example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a, what's the next word? A model. Example, model. Join together, church at Philippi, in my example, because you have models out there. I remember years ago, I was at a conference at Angelus Temple in downtown Los Angeles, and I don't know, I was probably the middle of a section at the conference, about the second or the third row to the back, and there was a pastor getting up, and I remember he was preaching out of the book of Hebrews about let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and he was comparing that passage with the time that he ran the LA Marathon. And I just got to be honest, I'm at the second of the back row, and I'm looking at this guy, and I'm thinking, like, he's probably going to be like really tall and skinny and just the opposite. Like, he was just, here's the word I would choose, rotund. I remember sitting there and I'm looking up, I'm like, what? He ran 26.2 miles? And I made a decision that day when I was listening to him speak, if he could do it, what? I could do it. And so I did. And it was November, and the race was going to be in March. And the first thing I did is I called my friend who was pastoring in Oregon. His name was Matt Mesner. He was the Oregon State Runner of the Year, his junior and senior year. He could have went to any college that he wanted to, but he went to Life Bible College with me. And one year he ran the LA Marathon, and right after like the Kenyans and the Ethiopians, he came in 13th place. So I called him up. I'm like, hey, Matt, I'm going to be running the race, and it's November, and the race is in March. And he's like, okay, here's what you need to do. Get out a pen. And he goes, you got to do this, and you got to start with 1 mile, but you got to run 4 or 5 days a week, and every Saturday add a mile until you get up to March. And he told me exactly what to do and how to eat and how to stretch and how to train. And I had a coach telling me how to get ready for the LA Marathon, and I had another friend in the church. I recruited him. He goes, I've already run it. I don't want to do it. I said, no, you're running it with me. And so we ran together 3 or 4 days a week, and I brought alongside of me coaches and mentors and leaders. Let me know if that's important for a physical marathon. How much more important is that for you and I in our Christian life? Godly examples all around us. Paul says, follow my example. How many have ever seen the WWJD stuff, bracelets and t-shirts and stuff? Do you know that that phrase WWJD was actually pulled from this passage of scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2? Here's what it says. 1 Peter 2:21 says, Jesus left us an, what? An example that we should follow in his foots. Would you, steps, look at this. I just got to be honest with you. When I read a verse saying, hey, Jesus is the example, I got to follow him. Does anybody feel like a little overwhelmed by that? Like, I got to follow Jesus? Here's a couple things about Jesus. He was perfect, he was sinless, and he was the Son of God. So when I hear like, follow Jesus, and I get that, I got to follow him, but I don't know about you. I need some flesh and blood people that I can touch and I can see. And so I know ultimately that I'm following God, but I need some people in my life that I could look to that are following Jesus that are going to give me incentive to finish the race strong. So Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. In fact, notice in verse 17, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, notice this, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. So, you know, God has put people in your life, men and women, godly people, that you're to look to. As they're following Jesus Christ, you're to look to them. Here's what Hebrews says. Look at this verse. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Notice this. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So God has put people in your life, pastors and small group leaders and elders and people in your life to encourage you in your relationship with Jesus Christ to move forward. Let me ask you the question. If you are struggling with an addiction of some kind, alcohol or drugs, what kind of person will you go to help you overcome that addiction? Are you going to go to another addict? Are you going to go to a supplier? Or are you going to go to somebody maybe on our Friday night recovery who teaches the class that has been free from that? You're going to probably go find somebody that used to be addicted, but God set them free, and you're going to ask them some question. You're not going to go to another addict. If you're having a financial challenge, who will you go to for mentoring and coaching? Are you going to go to somebody that's had 5 bankruptcies himself? No, you're going to go to somebody that's frugal with their finances and knows how to invest and save and give, and that's who you're going to go to. Hey, if you've never been a parent, who's the best people to go to? Go to other people that are parents that have raised really good kids. I'm not going to go to somebody that's never parented. How many know that people that, like, if I was a parent, I would do that? Well, you're not a parent, okay, so why don't you shut up? Well, I would do this. And, no, you've never parented before, so just stop right there, right? I want to go to another parent that raised some godly kids, not perfect kids, but godly kids, and I'll ask them, hey, how did you do it? What did you do? What are some of the things you stayed away from? What are some of the things you implemented? And true? I was telling the other service that, like, I've never been very smart. I've never been very gifted. Don't say amen. Honestly, I never thought I would ever be up here. This, like, freaks me out. Preaching in front of people, it's like, what? And God called me to get in front of people, and everything in me just wants to push away for that. I'm just not that eloquent. I used to go to Bible college, and I'd be surrounded around all these students, and tell me about your parents. Well, my parents pastored for 30 years, and my great grandparents, they were pastors and they were missionaries. And I was like the only guy that I knew. All my other friends' parents were in ministry and I didn't really know a whole lot. And I never did that great in school, but I am proud to tell you that I graduated in the top 10% of my high school class. But the top 10% of the bottom 2% is what I... So I wasn't that smart. I wasn't that gifted. I wasn't that eloquent. I'm not a natural communicator. But what I've always had, whether it's been sports or ministry, I'm just not afraid to ask people. Because I got married and my parents weren't Christians. So like, how do you do a Christian marriage? What does that look like? What kind of husband should you be? And you just ask people and you read books and you take people out for coffee and you let them speak into your life. And then we had kids and I'm like, I saw how my parents did some things wrong. My parents didn't raise godly kids and spiritual life wasn't really on the radar of what they were thinking about. They were thinking about the most successful athlete. And so when we became parents, who do you, you go find other people that have raised great kids and you ask a lot of questions. Why is it? Why is it that we instead of going to the people that we know that we should go to that can help us, we go to people that tell us what we want to hear? How about you can go to anybody to find out what you want to hear. I don't need to surround myself with people that tell me what I want to hear. I want to surround myself with people that tell me what I need to hear. And I'm telling you, like, who told you that? Well, my uncle. Is he a Christian? No. He's an alcoholic, but he's kind of a smart guy. Like, who told you to move into with somebody that you're not living with? Who told you that? Who told you to date somebody that's not a Christian? Who told you that? You can find anybody at your work to tell you what you want to hear. I want to surround myself with godly people that can speak into my life. Years ago, we started the church. Our church is maybe 6 months old, and kind of the same time we started our church, a guy that I never met, but I read some of his books, Wayne Cordero, started his church around the same time. Our church was 100, his was 1,000. Our church was 300, his church was 3,000. Our church was 500, his church was like 10,000. And he was an incredible communicator, incredible author, and I read some of his books, and he was coming to Ventura to publish a new book, and a gal in our church worked at Gospel Light, and she said, hey, Wayne Cordero's gonna come. He can't speak on Sunday. We didn't even have a midweek back then. He goes, he can't speak on Sunday, but he said he's willing to do a Wednesday night service. I'm like, we don't have a Wednesday night. Well, we'll start one. So we started one. We just invited some people to come, and he came and he spoke. And after, I just said, hey, is it possible if you and I just go out to dinner? And I just wanted to pick his brain. It's brilliant. He goes, yeah, I got a car, and then, why don't you just follow me in your car? And so we left the hotel over where the Cowboys practice, the Residence Inn, and we're going to Fridays off of Rose, right? I don't know why we decided to go there, but we did. And so he got in his car, I got my car, and he took like a right turn, and then I took a right turn and left, and he stopped and I stopped, and he went and I went. I was like on his bumper the whole time. We almost got to TGI Fridays. I was following, and I just heard the Lord speak to me. It wasn't like an audible voice. It wasn't like, Steve. Just I had this impression, and the Lord just said, Steve, you're following this man too closely. I'm like, I don't want to lose him. And he says, I'm not talking about the car. I'm talking about your life. And I mean, we need to have examples, and we need to have mentors, and we need to have coaches, but ultimately we're following Jesus. This is so cute. We were here Friday night for the recovery graduation. I think 22 people in our church, tell them I said hello. About 22 people in our church graduated from a 2-year recovery program, and the service is about to start. Me and my wife are right there, and a lady comes up. She's, oh my. Here's what she said. You guys are like celebrities. I was like, no, sweetheart. Nothing but, I mean, not even close. I said, I didn't say this, but I want to say, like, me and my wife, we argue. Most of the time, it's her fault, but once in a while, we get in an argument. And our kids are just like your kids, right? Our kids, they don't have, like, halos around. They're selfish at times. They don't clean their rooms. True, honey. They don't clean their rooms, right? We're just normal. We're not celebrities. There's only one celebrity at the church, and his name is Jesus, okay? So we have godly examples. We have mentors. We allow people to speak into our life, but ultimately we're following Jesus. Join me in following this example. Number two, write the second thing down. The second thing we can learn out of this passage is godless enemies away from us. So it goes from the positive to the negative. And notice in verse 18 and 19, for as often as I told you before and now tell you again with tears, many live as what? Enemies of the gospel. So the same Bible college that I just showed you a picture of, my wife and I started youth pastoring, and a kid in our youth group felt called to go to Bible college, and so he ended up going to Life Bible College, and I didn't see him the first semester, but he came home around Christmas time, and I'm like, Kevin, how's it going? He goes, actually, I love Bible college. It's awesome. He goes, most of my classes are awesome. He goes, but this one class, I'm not learning anything. He said, the teacher is so boring. I'm like, no, you can learn from him. He goes, no way, Pastor Steve, you have no idea. So boring. He goes, literally, he gets up there and he's just like, good morning, everybody. No passion, no energy. And he, like the whole class is asleep in like 7 minutes. I go, no, you can learn something. He goes, I can't learn anything. I said, read my lips, Kevin. You can learn something. He goes, I can't learn anything. I fall asleep every single class. I said, you can learn something. He said, what can I learn? I said, here's what you need to ask yourself. What is he doing to put you to sleep in 7 minutes? Oh, no, just, he's like, he sounds like Charlie Brown's teacher. He's just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I said, okay, find out, write down the things that he's doing or not doing to put you to sleep. And if you ever get up and teach and preach the word of God, do the exact opposite. I mean, no, you can learn from the good, the bad, and the ugly, true or false. And so in verse 18, he says, hey, surround yourself with godly people, but then, hey, do away with godless enemies. So you say, well, what's a godless enemy? It's anybody that preaches a gospel that's different than the Bible that we hold. And I would say two things about that. Number one, listen, if anybody's saying to you, hey, it's cool to have Jesus, but you need to do these seven things to get to heaven, that's an enemy of the cross. Jesus said when he died, it is finished. And hey, coming to church is great. Reading your Bible is awesome. Giving financially is a great thing. Volunteer, serve in a ministry, go to training for that. Those are important things, but those things don't save you. Here it is, Jesus plus nothing. Okay, so people that are enemies of the cross or enemies of Christianity say, well, you got to have Jesus, but you have to have this and this and this and this and this. And the opposite is true. Not only adding things to the gospel, but certain people, I mean, there are people like this. Well, if you're a Christian, then it really doesn't matter what you believe. Long as you're sincere, in the end, God's going to make it okay for you. He's just a loving God, and it really doesn't matter what you believe. Long as you're sincere about what you believe, God's going to make it okay. How many? That's an enemy of the cross right there. So I want to tell you a secret. Ready? I didn't tell the other three services. That's why you're special. Okay? So take your special self and lean forward like I'm telling you a secret. Your wife's picking her nose. She's not paying attention. Lean forward. Oh, yeah, yeah. Lean forward. Here it is. Ready? Here's the secret. Don't tell the other services. I am, your pastor is a 5'10" white guy. That's it. Yeah, that's the secret. I just want to let you know I'm 5'10" and I'm white. So let's just say the service is over and you're out in the lobby and you're like, hey, it's awesome. This is the first time I was at that church and I really liked the music and stuff. And somebody said, hey, describe the pastor to me. And you're like, he looked like about 5'1", but I'm totally convinced he's Filipino. I know he's Filipino. And then somebody else is like, what are you talking about? I was way closer than you were on the stage. He's not even close to being 5 foot white and Filipino. He's like a 6'11" Nigerian. What are you talking about? And no, one guy says, 5 foot white Filipino. The other guy says 6'10" Nigerian. Somebody else said, what are you talking? I was on the front row. He's Chinese. The guy's got to be like 7 foot. He had to play in like the NBA. What are you, Nigerian? What are you talking about? And you guys are all, I think he was Filipino. I think he was Chinese. I think he was Guatemalan. I think he was Russian. And I walked out there and I said, hey, settle down, settle down. What's going on? Well, he thinks you're Filipino and he thinks you're Nigerian and he thinks you're Guatemalan. And what if I said to that group, hey, doesn't matter what you believe. Whatever you think I am, that's what I am. That's like the craziest thing. No, I'm not a 6'10" Nigerian, although that would be awesome because I'd love to play in the NBA. I'm not a 5 foot Filipino. I'm not Guatemalan. I'm not Russian. I'm a 5'10" white guy. That's who I am. And that's what our generation does with Jesus. I think he's like this. Well, no, I think he's like this. I think it doesn't really matter how you live. I just think if you're sincere, it's okay. In the end, God's going to make it okay. He's just a loving God. No. It doesn't matter what you think, and it doesn't matter what I think. God's already said what he's like. In the Old Testament, he says, I am who I say I am. In the New Testament, Jesus said to Peter, well, Peter came to Jesus and said, hey, all these people are saying things about you. Like some people think you're John the Baptist. Some people think you're Elijah. Jesus looked at Peter and said, well, who do you say that I am? He says, you are the Son of Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at him and said, you know what? Flesh and blood, a person didn't reveal that to you, my Father in heaven. He says, I am the living Christ. Here, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, there's no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved except the name we sang about earlier. What a powerful name. What a beautiful name. It's only in that name. Listen, I don't make up the rules. He said the only way to get to heaven, the only way to have access to the Heavenly Father is through the person of Jesus Christ. And anybody else that would preach anything that's opposite to that is an enemy of the Christ, cross. Here's what, my heart is breaking for our church. Like, you talk to a lot of Christians in our church, they don't even know what they believe or why they believe it. Our daughter, our oldest daughter, played volleyball at Real Mesa High School. And I remember this one girl, she was a really sweet girl, really nice looking family. And this girl, I remember her telling us that she would get up early in the morning. Her family was staunch Mormon. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, every morning, every week, three times a week, to get to her church to do a Bible study before school started. School started like 7:50 in the morning, something. She had to get up at 4:30 to go to our Bible study to learn about the Mormon doctrine. Do you know that Mormons actually teach how to witness to Christians? Because they've discovered most Christians don't know what they believe or why they believe it. So they have classes that Mormons are taking on how to witness to nominal Christians. And a lot of Christians are being converted to Mormonism because they don't know what they believe and why. The Bible says, listen, study to show yourself approved to God. Listen, every week, you got to guarantee anybody that gets up here is going to do their job studying and get ready to give you a message. But listen, the Bible says study yourself. Study yourself to be approved. Show yourself approved to God. So we got to know what we believe and why we believe it. Notice in verse 19, he says, their mind is set on earthly things. Their mind is set on earthly things. Would you pray for me? How many say I'll pray for you? You're like, for what? Let me just... I'm just getting increasingly more frustrated with Christians that are more passionate about NFL. Why is it okay? Like, I love sports, but why is it okay for, like, Green Bay? It's like 20 below, and the guy takes his shirt off and paints himself yellow and green. He's like, "Skull!" And that's okay. And then when somebody claps or gets excited at church, you're like, dude, they're weird. So why is this okay and this is weird? Why is it okay for people to get passionate about shopping or passionate about social media or passionate about hiking or passionate about your hobby or passionate about a car or passionate about fashion or passionate about Facebook or about it, right? And then we don't have that same passion and energy. I wonder if we were more passionate about Jesus, and I say this to my own detriment too. I think we can change our city and our county for Jesus Christ. So a couple weeks ago, because of the pressure of pastoring a church and sermon, like preaching every week is like writing a book. And then, because most authors, like the book's over there, like, okay, I can breathe. No, Sunday's coming. So just the pressure of that and expectations and people's opinion and counseling and meeting with people. Sometimes you just need as a pastor to watch something a little violent. Can I just confess that to you? So my choice is I love UFC. I love MMA. Mixed martial arts. Do we have any UFC fans in the house? Raise your hand. We have some Christians in the house. Good. The rest of you need to get on board, man. I just love it. And so a couple weeks ago, I've been following TJ Dillashaw. I was fighting this guy, Cody Garbrandt, and they were just talking smack for like a year. And the fight got canceled and stuff. And so finally, I decided at the last minute to rent the fight. And it was me and my son and his friend, just the three of us on the couch. And my guy got clocked at the end of the first round. And it looked like he wasn't going to recover. And then the second round, he came out and he ended up winning. My guy won. God answers prayer. And my guy won. And I shot up off of the couch and I'm like, yes, yeah. And I went into the kitchen. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And they were going for the other guy. I'm like, sorry, but yes, yes. And so that wasn't bad enough, but like 2 days later, my daughter came home from college. My son is sharing the story of my behavior with my daughter. He's like, you should have saw Dad. He was like cray cray. He was psycho. He was going all over the kitchen, and man, I was so convicted by that. And nothing wrong with getting excited for your team, but Steve, do you have the same pat? Like, you're running around in the kitchen like a nut because your guy won. And if you had that much passion and energy for Jesus, if you had if you had that much passion for lost people in your city, Steve, if you had that much passion for people that are being sex trafficked today, if you had that much passion and energy for babies that are being killed on a daily basis through abortion, Steve, if you had that much passion and energy like you do for UFC, we can change our city for Jesus Christ. And I guess what I need prayer for is that Christians that are just set on earthly things. You can't take your car and your house with you. Nothing wrong with a house or a car. But it's the Christian that don't give, don't serve, don't volunteer, don't give financially, and but your passion and your energy is revolved around all of your earthly wealth. They set their mind on earthly things. How many know you can't take any of that stuff with you? So that's a very convicting point, and the way you're looking at me, it tells me I should move on. Okay, so here we go. Point number three, write this third thing down. It's the one I'm most excited about. Number three, there's great expectations before us. Verse 20 says, our citizenship is in heaven. Come on, that's good news right there. The Bible says that the sufferings of this world can't be compared to the glory that shall be revealed when I get to heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven. Hey, not only that, I'm also a citizen of the United States, and I want everybody to look at my eyes. I'm going to say something that's going to be probably a little controversial. You might want to send me an email. I'll forward it to Pastor Andrew. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I know there's a lot of problems in America. I know there's prejudice is a real thing. I know there's injustice for sure. There's racism. It exists. But I am proud to be an American. And I thank God for every man and woman. We have a guy on the front row right now that did 5 tours of duty and has 2 Purple Hearts. And I thank God for every man and woman in our church that gave their life so I can have the freedom. Listen, do we have our problems? Yes, we have problems. Just like every other country that has problems. But I thank God every time I travel to another country and I have my passport and it says United States of America, that means freedom. That means opportunity. I thank God for the USA. And I thank God that I'm a citizen. But having said that, truly, I'm not a citizen of the United States because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. And in 1985, my citizenship changed from the United States to heaven. And that's what the Bible says. Our citizenship is in heaven. I want you to imagine right now, everybody in the room, imagine this. Everybody in the room, you are in high school. I don't know, that freaked some of you out. That's kind of cool because I had hair back then. So you're in high school right now, and you're at your friend's house, and you're just hanging out. You're watching TV. You're playing video games, and his mom or her mom comes home, and she rushes in, and she's like, come on, all you do is sit around, talking to you. And you're like, what are you talking about? Yeah, and you use our toilet paper, and you eat our food, and you play video games, and here's what I've decided. You're just driving me crazy. You no longer have a room at this house. Excuse me? I don't have a room now. And no longer are we going to put out a play setting for you every night. Don't have one now. And you're not getting an allowance. Never had a dime from you. And you're like, what are you, why, huh? Why are you talking to me like that? I don't even live here. I live down the street. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, you don't live here. If you're a Christian, you don't live here. Why are you losing your mind? And people are following stuff on the news, and whether it's Republican and Democrat, and listen, vote and do your due diligence. But listen, we don't live here. I don't know, last time I read the book of Revelation, which was like this morning, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse until Jesus comes. So stop losing your mind. You don't live here if you're a Christian. And listen, do your vote and do that and pray and do all that you can do, but we don't live here. Turn to somebody and say, you don't live here. Notice in verse 20, it says, and we eagerly await. Eagerly await. I was so convicted this week because I thought to myself, Steve, when's the last time you eagerly awaited the return of Christ? I remember as a little kid, I hated Christmas Eve. I loved it and I hated it because I can't wait to know. We opened our presents on Saturday. It seemed like it was like 5 days from like 8 o'clock on Christmas Eve till the time you got to, I can't wait. And I never liked to peek or so. I didn't open my gifts early like some of you sinners, but I waited. And isn't it funny in our culture, like we can't wait for like a Star Wars 32. I can't wait to see. It's coming out. And people sleep outside of the Apple store. Can't wait. The new 10's coming out. When's the last time you eagerly, when's the last time you thought that Jesus Christ is coming back? And not only did you think about that, you got excited about that. I'm convicted because I can't think of the last time that I was eagerly waiting the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Bible says he's coming back, listen, like a thief in the night. How many have ever had somebody break into your house or your car, stole something from you? About 15 years ago, I had kind of an allergic reaction in the middle of the night, and I went down, true story, we didn't get in a fight. I couldn't breathe. So I went downstairs on the, some of you got that. Thank you for laughing. That was good. So I went downstairs, allergic reaction, and I was coughing. And so I just said, I'll sleep on the couch, and somewhere around 3 in the morning, and woke up the next day. We get a phone call or knock on the door, and somebody broke into our house. I was like sleeping on the couch. They opened the sliding glass door 2 feet from where I was at. How many know that guy was lucky I didn't wake up, man? So, man, it's crazy. Went through our stuff, stole Tammy's purse, stole a leather jacket that I had. I'm still bitter. You know what I discovered about robbers? They don't tell you they're coming. They don't call and say, hey, just let you and your wife, we're going to let you know about 2 o'clock in the morning. If you guys would stay upstairs, we're going to come downstairs. We're going to go through this door. And if you have any very valuable things, just kind of set them aside. No, they don't tell you when they're coming. The Bible says that Jesus is coming back, listen, like a thief in the night. Have you ever not expected something and it came? Out of nowhere, open up the mail like, what? You got a check for like $500? I was not expecting that. It could have been bad news. It could have been you went to the doctor and they did a CAT scan and you discovered, I didn't see that coming. So I was in Bible college. Don't judge me. I was only saved for 10 months. I went to Bible college and a friend said, hey, you want to play in a basketball league? And I'm like, yeah, I'm in. And so I played in college, but you play in these rec leagues. Most of the guys don't know how to play. They think they can play. And one guy on the other team, he was like 5'2" by 5'2". And you could tell he played football in high school. And now he's going to show everybody that he's a basketball player. And you go up for like a shot and he tackles you. I'm like, dude, knock it off. And I'm just going to be honest. I was cocky. I was so cocky. And I'd make a layup and I'm like, your mama. And it's only safe for a year, man. And that was just like back and forth the whole game, back and forth. And he'd make a shot. He's like, your mama. And I had the greatest comeback. I made this little shot. And I look at him like, your mama's mama. And so it's just like really lame. And the game was over. And we're going to touch hands. He goes, hey, number 11. I turn around before like I could even get halfway. Boom. Hit me right in the face. I did not see that coming. And I wore out his fist with my face. Right when I turned around, I was too late. I mean, I couldn't dodge it. I couldn't move. Boom, right in the cheek. And then I went crazy. No, I didn't do that. And they broke it up. But I never saw that punch coming. And that's how he's coming back. You don't see it coming. He doesn't send an email, Jesus, say, hey, get your life together because this Friday at 10 o'clock. No, he's coming like a thief in the night. I want you to look at this verse, 1 Corinthians 15:52. And I got to wrap it up. 1 Corinthians 15, notice, in a moment, everyone say moment. How fast is it going to happen? The Greek word there for moment is atomos, which we get our English word atom. What was the problem with the atom? It was so small we couldn't split it. Until 1917, we split the atom in a moment. That's how it's going to happen so quickly, in the twinkling of an eye. The twinkling is actually faster than the blink. Scientists tell us that we blink 1/50th of a second. The average person blinks about 25 to 30 times. You didn't even think about it until I said it. Now you're going, do I really? So the average person blinks about 25 to 30 times a minute. So I did a little research. I think you would like this. I did a little research. If you drove your car 55 miles for a 10-hour trip, you will have driven 33 miles with your eyes closed. Some of you are worse than that. I've seen you drive. Notice he says, but not in the blink of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye. A twinkle is faster than 1/50th of a second. The twinkle is the time for light to catch your eye. He's coming that quickly. It's too late to go, okay, I got to get my life together, and it's too late. And check it out. When he comes again, he's not coming like a little baby in a manger. He's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in all of his glory. I was reading Revelation chapter 5 a couple days ago. The Bible says around the throne of God right now, there are 24 elders around the throne, but I never caught this. I think I heard it, but I never thought about it. Then there's 24 elders, but then the Bible says in Revelation chapter 5, you can read it later, it says there are 10,000 times 10,000 angels. So I went to Google and I said, how much is 10,000 times 10,000? 100 million angels. So Christ is on the throne. There's 24 elders singing a song, holy, holy, holy. Outside of the 24 elders, there's 100 million angels. The most people I've ever seen, I saw a million people in the Philippines at an outdoor crusade, a million, it's insane. Think about 100 million. When's the last time you saw 100 million of anything? Ants, anything. Right around the throne right now, they're declaring holy, holy, holy is. And check it out, when you and I go to heaven, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you think about the greatest thing that's ever happened in your life on this earth. Marriage, having kids, getting a job, graduating, multiply that by 100 billion. When you see Jesus Christ face to face, it will be the most awesome experience you've ever experienced. But let me also tell you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, take the worst thing that's ever happened to you in your life. A divorce, an abortion, the death of a loved one, the death of a child. And if you don't know Jesus Christ on that day, it'll be 100 billion times worse than anything you've ever experienced on this earth. He's coming back, and he's coming back very, very quickly. So growing up, this might surprise you, I was a little spazzy. I used to like to get in trouble. My mom would threaten us by saying, you better shape up, because your dad's coming home. Man, if that doesn't motivate you to behave, because I've told you my dad doesn't play around, and most of the time we could talk her out of it, but sometimes she said, no, you're gonna pay for it this time, your dad's coming home. That's a great motivator for exemplary behavior. And you know that our daddy's coming home? That should motivate us to live a devoted and a dedicated life. So let me end with this. A couple years ago, my whole family went to the White House. And because we had a friend in the church that had a friend who was a senator, we got to be on a list that got us into, not the White House, into the West Wing. So we get up to the front, you see snipers on top of the White House, and there's just security and Secret Service all over the place. And so we get up to finally make our way to the front, and the police officer's there, and he's got his little clipboard with a bunch of names. He goes, your name, please? Steve Abraham, wife Tammy, Riley, Brenna, Ryan. He's looking up through his thing. And he opens it up, and he sees on the sheet, Steve Abraham, Riley Abraham, Tammy Abraham, Brenna Abraham, Ryan. So he opens up the thing, and he's all, there you go. So we got to tour, not just the White House, the West Wing, and we got to the Oval Office. The Oval Office is right here. They have a little thing here. I'm just like, got my foot in there. Put my foot. I just had to get my foot in the Oval Office, and it was awesome. Man, it's incredible. The reason why we got to go into the West Wing is because our names were written. Hey, the Bible says there's a book in heaven with names of his sons and daughters that have given their life to Jesus Christ. I want to ask you the question. Is your name written in the book of life? Just read a study this week. 20% of all the churches in the United States, 20% of regular attenders, I mean, I'm regular, they're here every week, 20% of them are not born again. So if that's true, 20% of the people in this room, you come to church all the time, not born again. You don't get to go to heaven just because you die. You don't go to heaven because you're a Republican or a Democrat. You don't go to heaven because you believe there's a God out there. No, you only go to heaven because you made a decision to follow Jesus. And let me just end with this verse. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and verse 33. Jesus said this. So this isn't my opinion. This is what Jesus said. Anyone who acknowledges me publicly here on the earth, I will go to the Father and publicly acknowledge you before him. I mean, that's great news. But the opposite is true. He says, but if there's anybody on the earth that denies me before men, I got to go to the Father and deny you before the Father. It's been a wonderful thing in three services. We've had over 100 people come forward. You know, the Las Vegas shooting, usually I watch things like that. I'm like, yeah, but it happened in Missouri. It happened over there. It happened over there. It happened at that school. It happened in, but you know the Las Vegas shooting? Pastor Ray's niece was one of the 58 people that died. One of the lieutenants that we've been going out to the fire camp a couple times a week to do ministry over the last couple of years, the lieutenant died. And two guys in our church got shot. One got shot in the foot, the other one got shot in the back. In other words, I'm trying to say, it hit close to home. And especially if you're young, you just say, oh, I'm gonna live forever and ever. And who would have thought? Who would have thought sitting at a country concert, that was their last day. And our life is like a vapor and we're not guaranteed. Who knows? I mean, how many accidents happen? You can get in your car today and you can get an accident. Your life can be over like that. And I just wanna, are you ready? Are you ready? Do you know that you know that you know that you're a sold-out believer? And you know, and I know that I'm a Christian, I know. Listen, to say, I think so, I hope so, I wish it were so. I was raised in the Catholic Church. My sister came to the service. She hasn't been here in a couple of years. She came to the service, sat right there, and when I gave the invitation, my sister stood up, came forward, and gave her life to Christ. I can tell you, I'll talk to her later, probably today or this week, and if I talked to her, I would have said, hey, coming up before Sunday, did you think that you were a Christian? Did you think that you were going to heaven? I guarantee she would say yes, 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 because that's what I thought. But have you ever gone public with your faith? I want to give you an opportunity to do it right now. Here's what I discovered. Like right now, we're not going to close our eyes, and I'm not going to do it that way. There's something wrong with that. But I just want to do what Matthew 10, 32, and 33 says. If you're willing to publicly stand for him, Jesus will go to the Father and say, there's my son. There's my daughter. So I'm just going to start in this section right here. We're just going to keep our eyes open. Because here's what I just got. If you're not willing to stand publicly in front of a bunch of Christians, you probably won't be inclined to stand for Jesus outside where there's a bunch of non-Christians. So I'm gonna ask you the question, do you know that you know that you know that you're a believer? You know that you're going to heaven? You know if he came back right now, it would be the greatest experience ever. You know that? If you're not sure, you think so, I'm gonna invite you right now, stand to your feet. Anybody in this section right here, you're opening up your life to Jesus Christ. I agree with you in the name of Jesus. Let's not clap right now. I want you to stand one by one. Thank you for your boldness. Just go ahead and stay standing right there where you're at. There's a bunch of people. Some of you, you've been going here a long time, but you know that you're not sure. Go ahead and stand right now. Come on, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't wait till tomorrow, next week, Christmas, Easter. Go ahead and stand to your feet right now. And I believe, listen, I don't know your story. I don't even know most of your names, but because you stood and you were sincere about that, Jesus went right to the Father and said, there's my son, there's my daughter. Thank you. I'm going to invite you to stay standing there. Anybody here in the middle section, would you go ahead and stand to your feet? Who cares what people are thinking? Thank you. This young guy right here, man, awesome. Thank you for standing. People all over the place here in the middle section, thank God for you. I'm going to ask you, some old, some young, some male, some female, thank you for standing. And I did the exact same thing you did. Having been raised in a church, I thought I was in. And I heard a message like this, and I realized I wasn't in. But praise God that you're in. Then anybody in this section right here, you know that you need to publicly stand for Jesus. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet right now. Yeah, but what if people think that, who cares what people think? I can tell you about our church, they think you're awesome right now. Hey, praise God for your boldness and your courage right now. Hold on a sec. Love the story in Acts chapter 7. As Stephen was being stoned, the Bible says that Jesus got out of his seat in heaven and he stood. It's the only time in the Bible we see Jesus standing. And here's the reason why Jesus was standing, because Stephen stood for him on the earth. Anytime on the earth you stand for Jesus, he will stand for you in heaven. Here's what I want to tell you before I pray for you. Right after this, we're going to invite people to come forward, and Pastor Ray and some of our pastors and leaders are going to be up here, and they might pray for 5 or 10 of you. Here's what they're going to tell you. After they pray for you, they're going to say, hey, you got to get plugged into a church. And if you don't live around here, then wherever you live, you need to go find a church. Go there every Sunday. Get involved. Get plugged in. Start reading your Bible. It's very, very important. If you live around here, and we would love to have you as part of our church, but you got to start growing. See, the Bible says that you're a spiritual baby. What kind of parent just having a kid at the hospital would leave their two-day-old kid? You don't do that. So we want to come alongside and help you because you're spiritually, you're young. That's okay. We all started that way, and we're here for you, and you got to come to church every Sunday and get your Bible. Start reading through the book of John and just start coming as much as you can. It's important. I just want to thank God for each and every one of you that are standing right now, and we're going to applaud you in just a second after I pray. Thank God for your boldness. Thank God for your courage. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray for you. As I'm praying, the prayer team and some of our leaders are going to come forward. After the prayer, everybody's going to stand up, and you that are standing right now, I want you to come forward. And Pastor Ray might be up here, and he might pray for 10 of you, and we want to give you a little packet to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ. But everybody right now, just close your eyes, or I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for each and every person standing this afternoon, and they're standing because they realize that they want a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so God, I pray you would give them courage and boldness. I pray that you would use their life in ways that they've never dreamt or imagined. I believe this, God, that there's pastors standing right now, leaders standing right now. There's elders in churches, maybe missionaries. Right now they're standing. Who would have thought that God would have used them? Who would have thought God would have used me? But God, you're gonna use them in powerful ways. Thank you that Jeremiah 29:11 says, you know the plans that you have for us. Plans to prosper us and give us a great future and a hope. So God, I thank you right now for each and every male and female, young and old, standing for you. We celebrate them. In Jesus' name we pray. Before we applaud, I want to say this. In the book of Luke, everybody look at me. In the book of Luke, the Bible says, in heaven, when one person on the earth comes to life in Christ, the Bible, just one, in heaven, there's a party going on. Okay, hold it. So there's gotta be 60 or 70. This is just one service. We had over 100 in the first three, so 160, 70 conservatively stood to their feet. I think that in heaven there's like a raging party going on. So here's what I wanna do. As these people are coming forward in just a second, I want us to join the party that's already taking place in heaven. Would you stand to your feet? Let's just put our hands together and thank God. Would you come down forward right now? Go ahead and move down. Go ahead and move down to the front. Let somebody pray with you. Get out of your seat. Let us encourage you. If you stood for the first time, go ahead, get out of your seat right now. Would you move forward? Come on, get out of your seat and come forward. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, as they're coming forward, put your hands together. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We got more family members. Amen. All right, we're going to sing this song. We're going to sing this song. We'll be dismissed.